You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Galactic Holodeck, welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, Snap and Jukin, Pirate Lord. Joining me today is Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, the ship's janitor. What's up, Blair?
What's going on?
You sound not dead.
Yeah.
Which I got to tell you, massive improvement.
Mm-hmm. Feeling better. Thank the Lord.
And finally,
thank the Pirate Lord.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know where your bread is buttered, don't you? Anyways, finally joining us today is here at the Empire, Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger. The ship's, you're still the cook, though, right?
I am still the cook.
Well, it's because
you have a job,
passion.
Right?
Yeah,
you got there a passion. You go. I have a passion for cooking. It's very true. I'm feeling good. I'm doing good. My voice is 100% back, so hopefully I won't be all sultry and gravelly anymore.
You guys were like both dead for what, like 2-3 weeks?
It was bad.
Tyler lost his voice.
I lost
like
my voice Monday of that week before even
week.
Getting there. So,
so we're finally recovered from Worlds, and because FFG loves us and X-Wing so much, they don't want to give us any time off. It's back into store champs, right? So we're there, and lots of, I guess, there are store champs happening. Has anybody been to, like, first of all, are you guys, when are we going to get a break, actually? Like, it's going to be after store championships or after next nationals? I need to know when I'm going to have some time to, like, actually play something where I'm not, like, trying it.
I'm guessing then national season will probably run September through December, because regional season, I believe, begins in January.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, I guess we have three here in North America, right? We have all of North America, then just U.S. and just Canada.
So
So September we get a break. That's your answer, Ricky.
Hey, like that's actually that's something though, right? Like and then not everyone's going to go to nationals. It's hard to go to nationals and worlds. So
no, although I'm kind of wanting to go to nationals now that I see what these Shuttle Tiberium guys are doing. But
when you say nationals, are you talking Gen Con or Nova?
A lot of people aren't.
Both.
So.
Okay.
Either or.
Both. I'm not doing.
Have you been?
I'd love to do either. They both look.
Oh man,
fun,
dude!
But
like,
no.
Put that on bucket list. Like,
it has been on. It is literally on my bucket list. Every year I kind of semi try and think of a way I can go to Gen Con and never do.
Dude, Ricky, make it happen, man. Make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be so much fun. And It's everything I like to do.
It's so much fun not related to X-Wing. Like, you can go to Gen Con and have an amazing time and not even touch Fantasy Flight if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, that, like, oddly enough, like, I don't know if I would like to go to Gen Con and play X-Wing, right? Or, like, the reason being is that it's a different kind of convention for me, right? Like, one's way more relaxed. One's like, I've got to simultaneously, hopefully play well and interact with people.
And drink well. And be the face of a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have a reputation of being a clown or something. I don't know. I mean,
upstanding individual.
An upstanding clown. Anyways, it's a little bit of a different convention, so I don't know. I kind of go, but I do want to do Gen Con. I mean, like, the idea of so many just show up and play RPGs, like, every single day. Like, I'm going to play a one-shot of Fate. I'm going to go play a one-shot of this weird Mass Effect RPG that someone just made up, or
quite literally, most of my like really good board game buddies from high school, like that live across the country now, we meet up every year at Gen Con. And so a day for me at Gen Con is going around and playing games with them. And it used to be the entirety of Gen Con. FFG just stole me away for 2.5 of those days.
Yeah,
and
we would literally
go, when the catalog drops, we would go look for random RPGs that someone had written that wants people to come play test. And we found, like, we had one that we try to play at every year. I think I've missed one in, over the last 5 years, that's super fun. And it's a really cool system. And like, I think we're all in like the back of his hardcover book that he has published now as like playtesters. Cause we were there. So like, we were there every year to play like each of his new options. And it's just, yeah, it is. It's so much fun.
So I'm not going to get too sad on that, but upcoming, we do have store championships though. And we don't have necessarily a break, although store championships do give you the opportunity to experiment more. And
heck yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. It's really good. Right. Cause we've been playing the same freaking things for forever anyway. So we're going to kind of go over store championships and if we've done any recent tournaments and what you're kind of planning on going to, and if we're still kind of feeling the same about the list that we want to fly. Obviously, The Aggressor did come out, and we will cover what was...
The preview of The Aggressor came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Aggressor preview came out. We'll go over the FFG potentially missing something important in the article and how unsurprising that is and how hilarious it is. And then finally, Shuttle Tigerian is going to join us, where we definitely see a Lambda Shuttle off on the sensors, and we'll pirate that. We'll go see what Shuttle Tigerian's up to. And speaking of Gen Con, they've got a whole thing planned for Gen Con, and they'll kind of go over that. And then we'll do a new contest. Hooray! So yeah. Let's jump into it. Let's jump into the booty section, because Blair, you crazy bastard, you've been to a tournament already, haven't you?
I've been to one. It was Heroic Night. It was the first of about 15 they're going to have up in my neck of the woods. And it was actually the one I won last year and didn't win it this year. I only went 2-2. I played a Dallas Parker's crack swarm, the four black cracks, Howl with crack, and then Zay Looter with crack. And first game I played a kid named David Lasseri, I think is his name. And he was flying Tie Swarm, and
you had to Tie Swarm on Tie Swarm in your first game.
I had a Tie Swarm on man. Tie. We were the only ones there running Swarm too, so I was pretty stoked going into it. But then just didn't have very good dice. I only killed one Academy the entire game. That's all I killed. So
was he running like the Patty almost, Swarm or like a classic Tie Swarm?
No, he had a Howl Runner, Omega Leader, Juke Com Relay, Mauler, Winged Gundark, and then two Academies. So, kind of some cross-massing PS, so I felt decent about the matchup, but yeah, I just couldn't really get... I mean, you almost have to try to only kill one Academy, like a swarm-on-swarm mirror. Like, he was like running away at the end just to preserve MOV. It was like that bad. So, but, I mean, yeah, he's like 17 years old, and he's only been playing for like 9 months. And that's like all he's pretty much flown is like swarms. So mad props to him, like flying that in the heart of the Dengaroo Defender meta. And now with Mind Link, just sticking to that. Like if they ever come out with an upgrade to make generic jousters not trash again, he's going to have like such an upper hand on like everyone. Because all everyone plays now is 2 and 3 ship builds. No one knows how to handle.
I'm shaking my head at you right now, Blair.
Shaking your head. Yep.
Look, generic swarms can be good. I'm believing again, right? I'm starting the goddamn church.
I don't know if 4 ships is a swarm, but...
Okay. So 5 would be, wouldn't they?
I'm going to believe... When,
4 ship is a mini swarm,
show me
very specifically.
When Snapjukes win a regional, I'll believe you that they can be good again, Ricky, but...
Look, I'm trying to convince you so they will, because I'm not going to do it. I got to convince somebody good that I'm right. I can't do it myself. Yeah.
But no, I was listening to Dallas Parker talk about his world's run with his swarm. And, you know, it's in a better spot than it was when Tyler ran it 6 months ago. You're just not going to get whacked. But it's still very hard. Fen is just that constant threat of being able to be one-shot by him. Very scary, but... They're in a better spot. I'd say they're like solid tier 2 now, the Tie Swarm. But so I lose round 1, and I follow that up. I play Andrew Bunn, top 8 at Worlds, round 2. Like, this is the randomness that store championship season is. You lose, you get crushed by Wing Gundark round 1, and then you gotta play top 8 from Worlds running like one of the best lists in the meta, old Fangaroo round 2. Like, alright, so somehow win that. And follow that up, I have to play Kalen Wong round three. Like, really? So,
oh, that's awesome.
And then he just crushed me. So was he running
Kalen's Pride?
No, he had a really cool list. It was basically your traditional Fat Han, but he had Expertise instead of Predator, and then Gunner instead of Luke. And then he had a K-Wing Bomber. So I felt like it was kind of a lot like your list, Tyler. Like, that K-Wing's not going to carry, like, Whisper Can, but it's going to hunt the stuff that Han kind of has trouble with. And then Han can kind of run the table after that. And that's kind of what he did to me. He just got two clusters off, and then Han just sort of cleaned up. So
Because Advanced Slam and Sabine are totally fair and balanced. Got it.
Well, that's when I really got, because I've been flying Rebel Swarm, you know, just so I was like, yeah, I don't care about Sabine, whatever, go ahead.
Suddenly, but that's two-thirds of your
mission. Flying three hit point ships, and that ability to splash the damage onto the TIEs that are almost dead, like the guy that's going to run up and block Han, no, now you die just because.
Why like, are you bringing back these nightmares? Right. Don't tell me these things.
So, but Star Champions
is it weird that I'm like happy that Han Solo like makes just like a small appearance back, right? Like, it's YT-1300s haven't been good. I guess like the
Ray was all over worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ray's still good. The problem with Han is that, again, just these mind link lists, they all have Fen and they all come in with like 96 point bids. Yep. So unless you're going to somehow find a way to bid to 95, you have to move first, and that's usually not what you want to do, but he's still pretty good, I feel like. But it was really fun. It was 22 people in the field. There were three regional champs, and then Kalen and Andrew on top of that, and none of those five people ended up winning it. It was some dude from Tacoma who I'd never even heard of, and he was running Jerry Russell's list, which obviously he hadn't played for more than a week or so, I imagine. And he ran that. So that's the randomness of Store Championship season. It's just the best. I love it. So I'm going to get in as many as I can. Like I said, I got about 15. I'm looking forward to it. So
have you changed your mind yet at all on what you plan on flying in the Store Championship season?
I'm still just going to be all over the place. I'm probably going to run Crack Swarm one or two more times.
You're going to switch it out to the proper Crack Swarm?
Will you switch it out to the yes, with Snapshot? Tyler and I are completely disagreeing on this subject right now. Yeah. But
what, on Snapshot? I think Snapshot's...
No. You said Cracks, because you're thinking of one Crack Swarm. I'm thinking of another one.
I'm thinking of my Crack Swarm, which is the only Crack Swarm. I mean, there are others that look close.
What I'm talking about.
But I'm just going to throw it out there, thinking of mine, the appropriate Crack Swarm.
So I have a question for you guys. Would Operation Specialists be at all useful in a swarm like that? Because that's a card that I found to be super useful the more ships I have.
It's definitely more useful the more ships you have. The problem is, first off, that bomber...
Yeah, you're running a bomber, right?
His dial is a lot different than the TIEs, and he comes in at PS2 most likely, unless you up it to a gamma. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes it a little bit more difficult, but I don't think it'd be terrible. It'd definitely be something to try. I've been theory crafting with a lot of those op spec.
I don't think that's surprising.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of potential there, but for Swarm, I mean, if I'm not just going to go like crack blacks, like if I'm going to go something more expensive, I'd probably rather go with like Omega Leader or something.
Mark was saying that he felt like pretty strong going in. He just didn't roll as well and was just a little rusty. So and there's that.
And I love Omega Leader with Howl because it gives her those rerolls that she really wants sometimes. Helps her punch that damage through. I mean, an op spec is nice, but with a swarm, you want something to deal with.
Well, Howl Runner's arguably a better ability or certainly cheaper.
For compared to what?
Yeah,
compared to who?
Just the op specialist ability.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Like, like she gives the reroll no matter what, although it's range one instead
no matter
of range
what.
Three.
So
I mean, there's op specs.
So you kind of already get an op spec with Howl Runner, so
in a weird sort of way, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tyler, are you thinking about anything different, or are you still sort of still on the gravy train of Rack Whisper?
Oh, I don't know about gravy train, but I think no, I will for sure be flying Rack Whisper at a couple of them. I'm going to have a limited number that I can go to, because in the Midwest, like in Central Illinois, there's like five, I think, maybe six, maybe seven ish, depending
on. Then you're traveling.
Well, yeah, those were all within an hour, so those were fine. I've gone and done, like, I did five, I think, last year, maybe six last year, but a number of them.
Chicago itself seems to have a lot, too.
They do. Yeah, that's a little bit out of range for me, because it's tough to drive 3 hours, play an all-day event, and especially if I make a top cut, because that's five games, then one or two more games, and then drive 3 hours home, right?
Yeah.
That's I've done it. I've been there. It's just, I leave at 6 a.m, and I get home at 3 a.m. kind of deals, right? Yeah,
that is ridiculous.
I'm the one that drives as well, so I'm making all of that drive myself on top of that. So that's just, that's a little rough for me. My other problem this year is a number of the store championships are just on weekends that I already have booked.
Are you going to have an incredibly unlucky slew of weddings? Because I've seen that happen before. I've seen that happen.
So, for example, the Red Raccoon store championship, which if any of you guys saw me playing at Worlds, those are the templates that I have. Those are the sponsored. I've won one of their big leagues. There's that I've won for 2 years in a row. I've won that store championship. That just happens to be on a weekend that I'm going to be at a giant air show in Oshkosh. It's the experimental aviation show up there, EAA. It's the biggest air show in the U.S. So it was, you know, go to that or go to a store championship. I'll go to this awesome air show. And there's a couple events like that where I just have other plans that I can't.
Sure.
I've already got cooler stuff going on, you know. So, and then I have two different beach volleyball tournaments that also land in the middle of just a different store championship. So, but I will at least be, I have to run Rack Whisper at the first one.
Are you running my first any, one is, are you, so is it, does it depend? Like, are you going to try and get a crack swarm in at all?
Maybe. I'm not totally positive, because as of at least right now, I'm probably taking crack swarm or taking Rack Whisper into national season. So, you know, you've got a few months of practice before we get to August, or on the unlikely event that I get out to Nova. Like, I want to get out to Nova just looking at the price support for Nova, but I'm not 100% if I can make that happen, right? It's just a lot of money, vacation time, and all that nonsense. But I just would like to get more reps with Rack Whisper in, and especially in the store championship season, because you see all of those other things that aren't those primary tier S, tier 1 meta lists, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that can give Decimator Phantom trouble. Like, if people just bring that right collection of stuff, I have trouble suddenly. Like, if you bring a three PS10s, that I don't know how I deal with that. So on the off chance that someone does that, that's great practice for me in that environment. The second reason is if you come to the Peoria Titan Games Store Championship on August 10th, which there's still like 10 or 12 seats for anybody that wants to travel, I will be having delivered there a custom painted and modified Rack Whisper for my Worlds list. So nice. Luke Carrington's doing an awesome job. We've got a really cool paint scheme for both of them. There's even talk of some crazy engine upgrade modifications going on to the Decimator that he's just kind of going nuts with. I kind of gave him a blank checkbook to make it happen. And so I'm really excited about that. So basically, as soon as I get that, not only have I been flying a Wave 5 list for, you know, years now, I might just only ever fly a Wave 5 list from this point on, because those will look really cool.
Well, it'll be really hard for Whisper and Chirino to go away, right?
Yeah, does
that
make sense? Sure.
Like, I don't ever see that being any worse than a tier 2 list. You know how both of those ships are, you know, just have really, really good abilities that are always terrible to deal with.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
The Phantom is literally a Phantom.
You know? Yes, it's still Whisper that's a Phantom, and it still is a 61-point Decimator, right? That just trucks people in the face.
Like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that evil. So are you going to try and get any crack swarm in, or is it just...
So like I said, it's I should know. The crack swarm is something that will always be in my hip pocket. So if I get to feeling froggy, or I feel like the meta hits a point where I think it's just a good call, like, I have that box. It's still sitting in there. They're all ready to go. I just grab that box instead of the normal tournament box, and here we go. Here's a crack swarm. I still think it's good. I think it's, like Blair said, I think it's in a much better space than it was 6 months ago. If you even wanted a more in-depth analysis, go listen to Minox's cast of with Dallas talking about his run at Worlds, because, I mean, he did really well with a crack swarm. So it definitely has. I mean, it's all the potential for it to do well is there. And a lot of the really popular lists out there right now don't handle a crack swarm super well. So if anyone out there is thinking, hey, should I run Cracksworm? Yeah, absolutely. Throw it out there, see what happens. Yeah. Because it's kind of the same problem of people that didn't grow up waves 1-4 playing X-Wing did not live in the era of, I have to be able to fight a swarm. I have to know exactly how to fight a swarm or else I'm going to just die, right? Same thing for Phantoms. If you don't know how to play against a Phantom well, or you don't have reps in against Phantoms,
it's just going to beat you.
It just gives you way more opportunities to make a mistake. It
moves so differently than any other ship that you're used to, unless you've played them enough times to know what to deal with. Yeah. You're going to get burned.
Exactly. So my plan is to maybe poorly... This might be a poor plan, but I tell everybody what I'm going to run anyway. I don't ever hide my list or anything like that, because a lot of the locals
the mind games are like my least favorite part of X-Wing. Like the idea that you should show up with two lists, which I understand is smart, but that whole thing has always bothered me, because it's like, whatever, just you're a squadron that you've been training with, fly that.
Right. Well, and I'm kind of the mindset that if you want to completely tech against me as a person and player, like, go ahead, man. Like, if we meet in Swiss, like, and you have all the right answers, that's fine. You might be my one loss, but I will still probably win out and make the cut. And if you're teching heavily against Phantom play, you're probably going to lose against everything else. You know what I mean?
I never understood that. I saw this post on Reddit about the Seattle regionalist dude talking about prepping. And he was like, it's good against BBYZZ. I'm like, I'm the only person to field 110 who even might remotely run this. And you're banking on, like, beating me? And I didn't even run it. Like, really, dude? Like, you got to rethink your tournament prep here, man. Like, come on.
So, now, granted, I say that. And there are a lot of local guys that, A, listen to this podcast and be like, you know, I play a tournament once a month-ish with them, that they absolutely would be like, okay, everyone remember, Tyler's probably bringing Rack Whisper. What are you going to do about that?
We did raid the Shuttle Tidarium, and welcome, gentlemen, to the podcast. What's going on, guys?
Hey, we're glad to be here.
All right, so to isolate you guys' voice, Jim, will you kind of like give us a heads up just in case?
Yep.
And Phil?
Yep.
There we go. That's going to work. That was somehow made sense. Anyways, what's up, guys? So tell us about your podcast. You guys have kind of like taken your own sort of niche in the, I guess, constantly reminding us that X-Wing's still an incredibly fun game, right?
Well, if I can start, because I do want to even say something. I talked to Blake from Sling Paint and Hornet Squadron just tonight. He was actually, I helped teach him the game when he was really new on my kitchen table, but I've been playing since Wave 1, and I like this game, and I used to be really into the tournament scene and competitive. We don't have all the big events down here in the Southeast and in North Carolina, but, you know, I used to get into it, I used to win a lot, but I started to get really frustrated with meta, and I started listening to a lot of podcasts that basically trashed 80% of everything that came out. And
I don't know who that sounds like.
I got so frustrated.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game, man.
right. And I got so frustrated. Going to the forums and everybody just smashing, you know, if it's not broken, don't fly it. And I just was like, you know what? I've been listening to podcasts for years. I kind of want to do my own. I have no idea what I'm doing, but this guy, Baba Ganoush, on the forums writes these awesome, you know, missions, and I wanted to pull him in. And so I did this, and I always feel like we're really positive because we talk about all the stuff that nobody flies. We, you know, I made a giant TIE Punisher mission, which is a blast. And all these things, I consider myself pretty positive. And I talked to Blake, who got back from Worlds, and he told me tonight, those guys don't like us. That they really don't like the podcast. Out. And I was like, what, really? He's like, you're too negative.
Who knows?
I started thinking. I was like, why are we negative? He says, well, your first episode, you do nothing but complain about tournament and how it sucks. I'm like, well, okay, if you start at the beginning and listen to our first episode, that might turn you off. And for that, for all you tournament people out there, I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't hate tournaments. I don't mean to bash tournaments. I'm not a negative guy.
Well, to be fair, like, not even 6 months later, plenty of people were talking about, like, there was like a whole rash of burnout episodes. Like, we did one, Minot did one, Nova did one. Everybody did burnout episodes because, to be fair, doing nothing but hardcore tournaments and that's all you do with X-Wing kind of like diminishes the fact that you're playing tiny spaceships.
I was on the edge of quitting. I really was. And it was about the time of Turret Wing. And I just was bored. And I ended up quitting tournaments and just played crazy stuff. I pulled out all these missions and scenarios. I had the CR90. I'd never done the campaign. I found some people to try it. I started making up my own stuff. Dagobah Days Trench Run. We actually made a multi-layer where there actually is a trench on the table. You know, paper turrets. All sorts of crazy stuff. And I started having a lot more fun again. And just kind of ran with it. And there's been a lot of people who really have kind of a, you know, appreciated that. I find most people play tournaments and play fun games, and we like all X-Wing. We just focus on the non-100.6 obstacles.
Yeah, it's not to say that tournaments can't be fun either.
Well, yeah, it's a very good gameplay type, but it's not the only gameplay type that X-Wing supports, right? Like, it might be the most fun, but if you play Madden the same way every single time, it eventually gets boring. I mean, that's the same of any kind of video game. And there are plenty of other really fun... Like, I played Epic for the first time, and I played X-Wing for a million years, and that's just Epic. And it was really fun. Who would have thought flying around a giant spaceship was fun, right?
Yeah. Running things over?
Yeah, I ran over three ships. It was the most amazing feeling in my entire life. I just ran those little ships over, and they were I drew them before me and like heard the lamentations of their women. It was amazing.
I think one of my favorite types is like 200 points only generics. And you just blow shit up.
AKA the 6 hour game.
Well, it's 200 points. You get a lot of stuff, but people, you die really fast. And, you know, even if you lose, it's so much fun because you're just like, blam, 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 I just killed half your ships. Blam, 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 you just killed half of mine. It's just, it's a hoot. I like it.
Man, you know how many Deadman Switch Z95s I could get in 200 points of only generics? Just saying.
Yeah, but I've experimented with Deadman Switch, and I've had it horribly backfire. I think I've lost five ships in one round that way.
But did you have 14 of them on the table? Like, that's there's amazing. The difference.
No.
Okay, guys, do you guys hear? Are you talking about the? So for we did a C-Roc competition that we were trying to choose a C-Roc winner, and Tyler and I immediately wanted to see. A list that was submitted that what was it like four how many
it was no it was I want to I spitballing the math but it was basically C-Roc and like four heavy Sikhs with assault missiles, and the C-Roc had assault missiles through the ordnance tubes, and then every other point you could have was Deadman Switzies. They just flew at the enemy as fast as they could and then got shot up by their own assault missiles, like going past them but splashing them, and it was quite literally you just ran them in packs of four so that they would all kill each other and just murder everything around them.
That sounds like a hoot. That sounds great.
Yes, which is right up my alley.
I don't know if that's any good, but that is the greatest list in the history of X-Wing. I don't know if it's actually going to win,
so,
but you're going to have the most fun.
And my love for this spawned, and this is like a way back, this is like Worlds 2015. We were sitting in the hotel room at 2 in the morning trying to find a list for one of my buddies to fly for like the After Worlds tournament. So it was like a three-round or a four-round just come out and play. And we'd all agreed like everyone was just bringing fun lists. Everyone was putting their super meta lists away and like just play fun, right? And we figured out he was going to fly a thug with genius, extra munitions, proton bombs, and a hull upgrade with an auto blaster turret and five dead man Switz Zs, and see how many of his own Zs he could blow up with that proton bomb and how much damage he could cause. And watching his games against like Imperial Aces, where there's a one hit point Soonterfell that can't shoot the Z95 in front of him because he's range one. And then realizing that you can fly through asteroids hoping to take damage to blow up, because then you blow up where the end of the template is, and that might just be range one of that super expensive ace you want to kill.
That and sounds awesome.
Yeah,
I applaud.
So it's that to the next level.
Excellent, excellent. I think my most fun was I took, back before guidance chips and all the fixes, I took four TIE bombers to a store championship. And I made it to the top four.
With lots of ordnance, just shooting.
And bombs.
Going nuts. Yeah,
I think one time I had someone took five alpha TIE interceptors. I killed them all in three turns. It was so brutal. I mean, people just didn't know what to do. I practiced a lot, and I knew how to fly TIE bombers. And with the ordnance, if you plan it right, you know, you can. I remember dropping bombs in formation was brutal. I ended up dropping four seismic charges, did five K turns. I already had a target lock. There was an outrider who landed on top of all four seismic charges, two missiles finished it off. I killed it in one round.
That's so good. That warms my heart, specifically because it's an outrider and I hate Dash.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Tyler's been talking about how Gen Con is absolutely the con to go to, but we were talking about a little bit earlier how Gen Con, the one downside of Gen Con is it's 2 days of tournament, right? And it kind of doesn't necessarily jive with your sort of experience of Gen Con, which is like, you know, play a bunch of games, as many games as you can. And like that's like kind of the spirit of it. Right. And I feel like you guys have an event that you're running that you guys wanted to tell us about. So I'm really interested in this. Kind of describe what the assault on Grayskull or Grayskull. I keep wanting to call it Grayskull.
It's Grayskull. It is Grayskull. I think I left out a Y in my email.
Good,
to you.
Good, good. Okay. Grayskull base.
Go with something better.
No, thank you. Oh my God. There should be a Y there. Okay.
It has nothing to do with He-Man, so.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a Grayskull.
Yeah, the Grayskull base.
The whole idea came when one of our other hosts, J-Bot, he's a local guy for me. We were, after gaming, you know, we were sitting around just BSing, and we thought of how cool it'd be to have an event where all the unique pilots are actually unique, as in you have to do some sort of draft pick, and basically each unique, there's only one in the entire event, and if that person dies, they're gone.
That sounds a little familiar.
Yeah.
But that's a great idea.
Go on.
What a great idea.
So that's what started this whole thing. And we ended up, it's built into a one-day event. It's going to be the day after the cut. So if you didn't make it into the finals at Gen Con, you know, we're going to have slots for this. And it's going to be four rounds of X-Wing, 14 hours.
It's on Sunday?
It's on Saturday.
Okay, so the cut will be playing Saturday, but if you didn't make it, you can come play this.
Exactly.
Got it. Cool. Go.
And we're going to have four rounds. Each round is going to have two unique missions that Phil has developed. And he's a whiz at making missions and balanced missions and complicated, not just though you just go and joust each other, but real, you know, things you've got to go for. And we've playtested the heck out of these things. And we've beat them up. We've tried. Because if you have a mission and it's just broken, it's no fun.
Nobody has
fun.
So we've really developed, and they're not all 100 points. I mean, sometimes it's 110 versus 100 or 130 versus 120. And we've got all these missions, which we give in advance so you can see and do it. But you've got 250 points as your hanger, as your roster. Now, you don't know what missions you're going to get, but when you do find out, you've got to build a list for that mission from your roster.
Right, and before the event starts, we have your draft for unique pilots for each faction. So there's going to be an Imperial faction and a Rebel faction, and people who bring scum rosters are going to fill the gaps to even out the two sides.
So two quick questions for you. You're drafting unique pilots, and you build your hangar, right, like you said, so you'd fill the hangar out with generics, obviously, like outside. Like the upgrades that go on all those ships, are those static, or is that stuff you can change between missions?
Everything you can move around, except for elite pilot talents. So if you have an elite pilot talent for a green squadron A-wing, it's going to stay on that A-wing.
Okay.
And actually, when you draft,
talk to me more about this green squadron A-wing.
Yeah,
it sounds so magnificent.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of Green Squadron pilots, actually.
Right. And
maybe with Snap and Juke, because it's really good. Ah, go on. Mm-hmm.
So you could actually take, as long as your hangar has the X7 title and the XD title, you can choose which one to use for a mission. Or even a Seek. Do you want to have a heavy Seek or a light Seek? You know, you could have just the Seek and then choose which one for that mission you want to fly.
Oh, so, but also in your hangar, you're paying for all the upgrades as well, and then you kind of have to slot them in, right? So even though I have 250 points, I probably only have 190 points worth of ships. And I've got 60 or however many worth of upgrades.
It all depends on what you take. So if you take something like X1s, you know, TIE Advanced X1s, you could go for something like Sensor Jammer or ATC, Advanced Targeting Computer, because in some missions, you don't want to lose ships. Like, you know, you might lose double the points if your ship dies. And Sensor Jammer might actually start looking pretty good.
Okay, counter question. If I'm, just because you brought up that specific example, if I if I have a Storm Squadron pilot, and I take the title because that title's free, no big deal. But now in my hangar, I want to have a Sensor Jammer and an Advanced Targeting Computer. Is that 9 points or is that 1 point?
Oh, that's a good question, Phil.
Okay, so that is a good question, specifically with those TIE Advanced.
Good to figure this out ahead of time.
Just get back to us on that one.
Yeah, I'll probably have to add something to this, to the rules. I hadn't considered that. Maybe because I never fly TIE Advanced. That's a great question.
This is one of those DJ Khaled situations, right? Like, if you want people to play different stuff, you've got to be able to answer different stuff questions.
Because I wouldn't want them to be costed at the full points if they're going to be, you know.
And so, like, so say I take Sensor Jammer. Is that Sensor Jammer tied to a TIE Advance? Or if I have one Sensor Jammer, I can put it on anybody?
No, you should be able to switch it. So you can switch it to a Lambda. You should be able to switch it to a TIE Advanced.
Okay.
And one
that
of the things
makes it a little
is,
better then. So, like, if I bring B-Wings and, U-Wings, sure, U-Wings, there we go. Then, like, I can have one pocket set of some...
Yeah.
Like, I might only need one Sensor Jammer between the two ships, but I want two fire control systems.
Right. Yeah. And one of the cool things is if you have a generic that lives through a mission, then he gets veteran status. So he gets a free PS bump. And if he lives through another mission, you can actually upgrade him to unique pilot. Anyone that's not been taken and is not dead.
Gotcha. Assuming they're left. Cool.
Yeah. Right.
They so level it's, up.
You're kind of just buying the pilot ability for him.
Right. And cool. And so what's kind of cool, I find, I'm playing these missions, the missions are pretty challenging. And I find when I have played a lot of missions, I tend to like generics or midpoints. You don't want to go with the high expensive guys. Like, Soontir Fell may be great in the tournament, but, you know, he might be arc dodging around.
You have been out of the tournament scene for a while.
I've got a question for a friend.
Okay.
Sorry, go on, Ricky.
Just asking, does that mean that you could theoretically turn a Green Squadron pilot into Arvel Sind with an elite pilot talent?
Yep.
Well, I mean...
oh, God.
it's a good question what happens to that elite pilot talent slot when you when you level up a normal pilot.
So, yeah, is it more like HODAC, or is it more like you just become that pilot talent, that pilot for free?
You pretty much, you replace the pilot card, the Green Squadron pilot card, with Arvel Crimson.
Oh, then that means nothing.
So you don't get it.
I had a dream.
And I know.
I had a goddamn dream.
Yeah.
I was finally going to get to play Kirikanos with PTL. It was going to happen.
Yeah. And so something is, you can't actually, for your draft, you're not allowed to take anybody that you don't have the generic for their ship in your list.
Right.
So if you want to say, oh, I want the Inquisitor, but I'm not going to bother taking a TIE Advanced V1, then, you know, you can't take the Inquisitor.
Interesting.
And so I find that, like, high expensive aces don't do well in missions, because if the other guy's got, like, a big jousting list, he might be able to just shoot you down easy. Or if you're trying to guard a particular thing and you're too busy arc dodging or running around or doing something specific, where you've got too many points tied into one giant ship instead of being multiple places on the board trying to, you know, to do objectives, then it's going to suck.
Right, because the missions tend to draw ships into certain areas. Not so much like setting up jousting situations every time, but you can't really spend the game, you know, flying around the board, avoiding combat, waiting for like the perfect opportunity, because there's other things going on the table at the same time that require your attention.
So you said ships are unique in a draft. What about unique upgrades? So like, can every Empire player have a Palpatine, or is there only one Palpatine to be drafted?
Well, we are limiting for theme. So basically, it's out in the Outer Rim during the Civil War. No A-list characters, because Palpatine is not going to be guarding an ammo dump out in the freaking middle of nowhere.
That's
so
fair.
No Palpatine, no Royal Guard titles, because why would the Royal Guard be at the ammo dump when Palpatine's not there? And with that, no Luke, no Han, no C-3PO, no R2-D2.
Yeah. And so no Resistance or First Order?
Exactly. No First Order.
Right.
No Resistance.
I think the one exception there might be the Resistance Sympathizer, just because otherwise people would have to bring Outer Rim smugglers.
Right.
I don't want to make people do that.
Hey, man, right. Those used to be good. Those used to be good. Rebel Convoy was a thing.
Right, Rebel Convoy.
Oh, my God. I remember. That makes me so sad.
Right.
So what you're saying is my 44-point Gunner Whisper build might not be the most efficient 44 points to bring on
unstoried-ish
missions.
There's also a few yeah. Balance ones. And do you want to talk about them, Phil?
So there are a few ships and specific upgrade cards were banned for balance reasons. So
oh, okay. Sure.
Upgrade cards, that's Twin Laser Turret, which is just really, really good in a lot of missions because it can throw damage onto different little objectives that you have to shoot up.
We've experienced this in HOTAP on stream before,
where
Dom's Twin Laser Turret just murders everything in its path.
Or
Ricky's. Ricky gets all the kills. Ricky's killing ships, at least. Dom's the one just murdering objective after objective.
The other concern with Twin Laser Turret is that it's really, really good against generic ships.
Which is what most of everything's going to be.
Right, which 90% of people's lists are going to be comprised of generics just because the unique pilots are going to be limited. And if they die, then they're gone forever.
Versus if a generic dies, do you just get a new replacement in your hangar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right, so the other upgrade card that is banned for balance reasons, it might be a little surprising, it's Seismic Torpedoes.
That's not surprising to me at all.
Right, no, right.
Because I have a question for you mission developers, and I've asked FFG OP this at Worlds. If you're playing Epic, one of the rules for Epic is you can bring a capital ship for your three sets of objectives.
Oh, geez.
What happens if I Seismic Torpedo that capital ship?
Right, that's a powerful torpedo.
It's really big.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the terrain pieces and missions, you know, need to stay on the board. So there's, you know,
that totally
I can't
sense.
Have people taking stuff off
them. As awesome and trolly as it would be.
Yeah.
Oh, you need to protect this thing? It's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. This is going to be the day after, during the national championships.
Yeah, this during the cut.
Right, during the cut.
During day two play-in and then cut, yeah.
Right. So there's two more things banned for balance reasons.
Yeah.
TIE Phantom, and that's partly because a bunch of missions require you to be going after a certain, like, one ship on the enemy side. So having TIE Phantoms makes that, you know,
Now, is it the elite TIE Phantoms or even the generic TIE Phantoms?
It's even the generics.
Okay.
Because if you've got a bunch of generics and they just decide to run silent, run deep, and just, you know, head across the board and blow up your objective, you know, there are times you just can't even hurt it.
It's just too disruptive.
I was just saying, a PS5 Shadow Squadron is still really good if you have Advanced Cloak, Recon Spec, and FCS.
It's right.
But everyone else is PS4 or lower.
Exactly.
You don't even have to decloak. You could just stay cloaked and move across the board.
They're like
never uncloaking
to
get the objectives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, our one of our favorite mustache guys, Biggs. Biggs is not allowed.
Oh, yeah. Well, he wouldn't.
No, he's not the best mustache guy.
That's why I said
no, that's
one
not
of our favorite. One okay. of our favorite. I didn't say favorite.
Not the
important.
So Horton is everything. I assume you guys, you've tested this a lot. How have you felt that Predator interacts? If you're making a lot of people run generics, or you're not forcing them to, but they're going to be running more, does Predator become more expensive, or is it better than it normally should be?
It's actually even hard to find the generics with the an EPT slot, to be honest. I think it's okay.
For the people that you are running versus the generics.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You bring a Royal Guard with not PTL for whatever reason, or a Saber Squadron, for example, and you have Predator on there. Yeah. Like, he's going to be getting a lot more rerolls than you normally would, right? Because there's going to be a lot more PS1 and 2 ships.
Yeah. Yeah, there are going to be some ships that are going to be pretty powerful, and even some named characters. And particularly for the named characters, though, sometimes you may lose the mission, but if you take out that named guy, that's a victory for your side, you know?
Yeah. Sweep the leg for him. So this is a victory. Like, you're running missions that are accumulating points for the entire Rebel Alliance or the entire Empire, correct?
Exactly. So the whole event, what's going to be cool is we've got a bunch of prize support from a bunch of companies that we're going to be giving to the highest players, but we're also tallying up for each side. So even if you're on the low-end tables, you are going to be a guy facing about the same score as you, and whoever wins that is going to get points for their team. And cool. At that point, you know, it doesn't, you know, you're still contributing to the overall victory, and everybody on the winning team is going to get at least something.
Cool.
Right. And the lowest scoring player is going to get something too. Special award.
Always good. Always good.
The Kirk Award.
Well, guys, that's really cool. I want to go to, are you guys doing anything else in Gen Con that you're excited to do, or?
Yeah. We're doing a bunch of Mario Kart X-Wing.
Oh, nice. So, that's so much fun.
So we've got a bunch of different tracks. We've got like a bunch of different even types of ships. We've got the stock racing, which we're not sure quite yet if it's going to be Z95s or Seeks. But then we've got the fully wide open, which I think is going to be about 40 points of take whatever you want.
And
then
there's A-Wings and Interceptors.
Or even like a YT-2400. And then we're going to have an open of like 24 points, which 24 is like just enough to kind of keep
K-Wings
the broken
really
stuff
with that too, with slam.
Yeah. The thing is about slams, whoever gets out in front gets shot up. So, yeah.
40 points. I pick Jax.
Yeah.
Dick with all the tokens. You've got this, you've got Mario Kart, is anything else?
We've got some Trench Run, we've got this ISD mission going on, we've got a... Phil, what are you doing on Sunday?
I'm running a huge ship brawl, which is the only ships you're allowed to put on the table are huge ships.
Epic ships. You mean epic, correct? Epic, cool.
Yeah, the epic scale, yeah. So,
and is this also factions as well? So it's like all the Empire versus all the Rebel kind of thing? Or is it like just one-on-one player?
I think I have it to 2v2. Is the default.
I will say that we've gotten so excited about this. We started to do, when we were talking about missions, we would actually do dramatic readings of the backgrounds, and I kind of like built up. And so we actually have a 4-part audio drama that does the background for this whole event. And we've got sound effects, music, you know, different people. And we've gotten 2 released so far. The third's about to be released and the fourth before Gen Con. And even if you don't want to go to the Gen Con event, it's actually not terrible to actually listen to, you know, the audio drama. Like, I'm pretty impressed.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm excited. This sounds like a lot of fun X-Wing stuff for a lot of people. Oh. Do you know how many seats you have at each event?
We have 40 seats for this, but also we're thinking after Gen Con, because we put so much work into this, we're thinking of doing a global campaign where we try to encourage people around the world to do it, try to go to other podcasts. You know, we're going to have all the material. You can go play it. If you want to get like a TO to organize some day in your area, or just you and 4 buddies in a basement that want to try it out and report in, we want to try to get as many people to try these different missions and try it out, because we've made, you know, we think a lot of work into this. We want it to get used.
You want people to see it, for sure.
Yeah. But if you want to win the asteroid base, which is the main prize, got to go to
Combat Zone Scenery. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will definitely stop by and check it out. Hopefully, I will be playing on Saturday and won't be able to actually participate.
But yeah, I would suggest if, you know, if you're interested, keep an eye on the tickets for it. If you really want to, like, if you're playing in the main tournament, it may be a good idea just to bring enough ships to put together a roster for this if you're interested in this but are hoping to play and win that tournament. And so if you get knocked out early, you just, you know, come over us.
Yeah, and so that's a big thing with Gen Con that I was telling, like Ricky and Blair, they haven't been able to go, is like O2 and drop is totally a thing at Gen Con because there's so much other stuff to go do. Yeah. It's not like, oh, well, I guess I could just play some more X-Wing. It's, oh, I could go do everything else in like the board gaming universe.
That's right. The only thing I'm giving myself time for.
Yeah, no, yeah. I was like, and very much so. You totally should. You should check it out because it's so much fun to like walk through. It's huge. I mean, it's massive. But this is cool. So you won't have a chance to play any of the other X-Wing side events that are going on at Gen Con?
No, I'm going to be flying in on Thursday, and there's a few other events. Like one of our other members of our podcast has all these things to build like a big table for a Star Destroyer, and it's mm-hmm. going to be the mission where you've got to try to blow up the bridge, even by ramming yep. it if possible.
Yeah.
And it looks so nice, and I'm playing in that.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool.
That might take as long as our entire event, actually.
Yeah.
Mission.
I don't sure. know about that, but we'll see.
I did last year. I got to play in one. I think I talked about this on the cast last year. Sometime in that. There was a really cool event that they're running again this year, I believe. I've got to go check the catalog again. But it was basically 4 players per map, like Thunderdome style, and you get points mm-hmm. for eliminating players. But
then
you
lose
points
event?
For... it was, yeah. And so it's an hour long, 4 players per map, and then you reshuffle maps, and you play 3 or 4 hours total, and it's whoever has the most points at the end. It was like you get 2 points for eliminating a player, you lose a point if you die, and you get 1 point for being the only person left on a map at time.
Nice.
So it was super cutthroat, like everyone just jumps to the middle and starts punching each other in the face and go nuts, and it was so much fun. Because you also take like random damage over time, like every like at the half hour mark, the 15 minute mark, the 7.5, and like the 2 minute, you roll a red die and suffer that much damage. So if you're trying to like skirt and dance with somebody like Sunterfell, like you could just die to periodic damage.
It's like being married.
Yeah, and it's also yeah, right. It's very much. It is 60 points and at maximum 2 ships. So I did very well. I came in second last year with a 60 point IG-88B. That had both a heavy laser cannon and an auto blaster cannon because you have 60 points, so why not?
Oh, yeah, I almost wonder if A would be good.
So my buddy, in case we just ended up on the same table, ran C as well. Just
nice.
In case. And we had the titles, so that way we could... I was running Lone Wolf Sensor Jammer heavy laser, and he was running Advanced Sensor PTL.
That's very cool.
But it was a lot of fun.
You know, I've always wanted to do one game with called Bounty Hunter Rodeo, where GMs run, you know... a bunch of named rebels, and basically each player gets one of the named bounty hunters, and the whole goal is to kill as many of the rebels as you can to get your bounties. And you can shoot at each other, but you don't get points for killing each other, only on the bounties.
That's
but
so
basically
good.
You know, like get about 12 of the named guys all on a giant, like I don't know, 4x4 table, and just duke it out.
That's fun. And so, and whoever has the most bounties claimed at the end,
they're the best
wins.
Bounty hunter of the universe.
That's awesome. I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard an argument that Greedo was the best bounty hunter because he found Han Solo first, and I took like offense to that.
Yeah, but he couldn't carry it through.
Yeah, like, we don't know that. Like, he was the first one we saw on camera. It seems like Han was used to dealing... And it seemed like Han was used to dealing with this type, so...
Well, yeah, but hold on. Let's be real. We have a whole other movie talking about this coming out, so... Maybe we'll get
we'll see.
Get more information.
We'll see
young Greedo.
Maybe we'll see young Greedo. Yeah.
All right. So guys, we need to move on to the new ship analysis that we got. This is the first time that we've had the time to talk about the Aggressor. If you guys like, you guys can stay on and talk about that and talk about just a little bit about store championships too. If you guys want to stay on,
I can for a bit.
Yeah, I can stay.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So let's talk about the Aggressor. The Aggressor preview article was released, and we kind of want to go into the ship itself, some of the cards and pilots that we saw. I kind of want to jump into the Aggressor as a topic, though. So the basic Aggressor is PS2. It's got 2 attack, 2 agility, 4 hull, 1 shield, a turret, which is really the interesting part, and 2 missiles at 17 points. So, I mean, it's fairly cheap.
With focus, target lock, and barrel roll.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world, right?
Still no dial.
Yeah, still no dial. Like,
yeah.
Well, but they talk about it and they show what's there. So they say, what was it? With a fairly open dial.
Relatively open. I think it's going to look a lot like an X-Wing dial.
Yeah, we were talking TIE Advanced. So yes, similar.
I think it's going to be more than a TIE Advanced, because if you look at it, it shows a two-bank green. And there aren't that many ships that actually have a two-bank green.
So... From an Empire's perspective,
the Ark has a two-bank green.
Yeah, so like the Decimator does as well. So like everything has a two forward, but like generally Empire don't get one maneuvers that are green. So the two-bank being green, that's just, it needs to be fast. But I'm curious as to what they're going to do, because I could see them. I mean, I feel like it might be a little too powerful if they give it like a five forward and you can slap a TLT on this thing.
Yeah, so Tyler, you being a fairly prominent Imperial player, does the idea of an Imperial TLT move your dial at all?
So, short answer, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, the police, I think, is what they're referring it to on the internet at this point. So, like, 4 TLT aggressor with lightweight frame.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be good. It will have better matchups than the Y-Wings, and then it'll have worse matchup than the Y-Wings as well. What it's running into, because I mean 3 agility with a double tapping TLT shot, I like it in the space of it can do some interesting things with Jonas. So like a couple of TLTs with Jonas and something else that's like ordnance based, okay, I could maybe see that. But it doesn't fit into like the hallmark pillars of Empire right now.
Well, yeah, like, but they haven't really gotten a TLT like this yet, though.
Well, no, we've never had a turret. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. So we've never designed
lists. Not a cheap one.
Well, no, we've never had a turret at all. Like, we have primary weapon turrets, but we've never had turret
options.
That's what I mean,
primary
weapon. Then we have the Decimator, right? So it's half your list goes there, no question. Like, at least half.
Unless you're playing the Decivator, and then it's like the expensive version.
Yeah, it's still 50 points. The big pillars of Empire play, like, we never designed with the style of space in mind, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... there's a couple spots where like you could look at either the named or say like the PS5 aggressors with TLTs, lightweight frame, and maybe a little something extra, like a little splash in one of the missile slots with someone like an expensive ace. We're talking like Gunner Whisper Ace or a very expensive like TIE D Vessery or something, like Ion Cannon TIE D Vessery with like expertise in there, like big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big big EPT on there as well. Or midpoint decimators, that kind of stuff. So they could. Like, the thought of running, like, any of the, like, a 60-point decimator, I'd have to be 50-point. Yeah, so, like, the mid-40-point aces like that. That could work. That could be okay.
It's a good... The Empire doesn't have that sort of source of constant damage.
Right.
And that's got to be useful to them.
Personally, I'm looking at these aggressors in a different light. I think, especially with barrel roll, that they're going to be a really great auto blaster turret carrier.
Oh,
it's 19 points. You have barrel roll.
The barrel roll is really good.
And a fairly open dial to me, and just the look of the ship. The ship looks fast. You know what I mean? Like, it tapers back. It looks like it's got this, like,
race car style. Yeah, the TIE SF looks fast, too, though.
No, it doesn't.
Really move.
Yeah, so... stop it, Ricky. But no, so, like, that has a place, I feel like, because it's just slightly more expensive than, like, your standard, like, crack shot, like, black crack at 15. Like, at 19 points, you can free up 4 points for something like that. And so that solves some problems for you, right? Like, you have... a mini swarm, and then a couple of these guys with auto blasters that could maybe dissuade a Fenrau from getting close to you.
I even think you could throw on the unguided rockets as well, because each one of those is only 2 points.
Right.
So you've got 2 points for auto blaster turret, 2 points for unguided rockets, and you've really got a much more versatile ship.
You very much do.
The pillars of Empire, but everyone's talking about, ooh, Empire's dead. So I really think you've got to rebuild what it is to be Empire at the moment, and... we don't know what's going to happen with the H6 as well, but there's two things that deal with bombs.
Yeah.
And the Type Punisher might actually be viable soon.
I hope. You know what?
I'm hope you're right. Hope. I hope you're right, but, like, man.
But somehow I don't think in the Havoc there's going to be a title that lets you put Advanced Slam and Slam on a Punisher. And I think that's the only way to save it. I'm not positive. But.
Well, but there's going to be that system that looks like it lets you put bombs down before the game starts. That yeah. could You've yeah. got a ghost that likes to cruise down one side with Biggs. All you do is drop some bombs there before you, you know, even start.
Okay. All right. So maybe. So one thing I will say on the spamming of the aggressor, and I've talked to some other guys, and this some of the Australians have been talking about this. So just like you were saying, you slap unguided rockets on there for 2 points. Like, hey, this seems better. Let's go a little bit farther and let's kick it up to the PS5 and give it lightweight frame. So now you have a PS5 ship that has 3 dice at any range in arc. It has auto blaster to cover it in range 1 on its side and rear arc, and it's got effective 3 agility. Like, and you can have 4 of them. Like, yeah. I think that has more, that slots into Empire better than I feel like a TLT with lightweight frame does. But who knows where we go.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the other name guy.
Oh yeah, the name guys are totally different. Name guys, those sit in.
Yeah, we'll get to them elsewhere in a second, but I'm just talking like this ship is like in its general capabilities, like what we sort of think about it. Blair, what do you think about like at least like its stats and like its capabilities? Because this singular seems like similar to a lot of tools that I would expect that you've played with a lot. So
I have to believe the dial is going to be pretty good, because otherwise I just don't see the only way you take it over a bomber is because of the turret, and I just don't know if that turret's good enough, even a TLT or an auto blaster. I still, for my money, I'd rather, I mean, I try to scrape save points wherever I can when I build, but for my money, I'd still rather go with a bomber. So I think the dial is kind of going to make or break it, at least the generics.
I think like a TIE fighter.
Like a TIE fighter dial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
It'd definitely be an upgrade over the bomber.
Yeah.
But
like I said, I was guessing TIE advanced. Just the, I don't think it's going to have the hard ones.
I wouldn't bet on hard ones either.
All right, may not be hard ones, but it'll have more greens than the TIE Advance does.
So, Blair, what do you think of Kestrel? Or Kestel, sorry.
Kestel.
I do that too, though.
Yeah. It should be a Kestrel. Maybe that's another mistake, an FFG article. I didn't bring that up.
We'll get into that in a second, because I am going to bring that up. But what do you think of Kestel? So Kestel's PS7 costs 22, and then when attacking... Technically, I've heard this actually doesn't work by rules as written. Yeah. But
it does.
We're going to go as okay
from major judges.
When attacking, you may spend one focus token to cancel all of the defender's blank and focus results, so only the evade results count.
Yeah, very interesting, very very interesting ship, and we were talking about him a lot. I like him because really the only thing Empire has right now that can deal with aces at a appropriate, at least single pilot that can deal with aces at appropriate level cost is a megaliter. And a megaliter is great, but she has a lot of trouble with any list that has 4 ships or more. 3 is kind of a push for her. 2 is great.
Yeah.
4 or more, she really has a hard time. She can't really arc dodge. She just kind of has to go in there and just get shot up. Kestel is completely different. She can handle the aces in the same manner that Omega Leader does, but she also can handle the generics as well. She's sort of, again, dial will mean a lot, but with that TLT and the barrel roll and moving at PS7, sort of fits in the mold of a mini dash, especially with lightweight frame. You can throw a Predator on her. So that would come at 33 points. 33 points, that's only 7 more than Omega Leader.
Yeah, but that's a 33-point mini dash.
Yes.
Instead of 58.
No, it is not because it still has to deal with obstacles. Let's not go with why dash breaks the stupid game.
That is bullshit.
It is. Anytime you take a fundamental mechanic of the game and you're like, I'm sure this pilot will be fine if he doesn't have to obey those rules.
Sorry,
We get into trouble. We get into trouble. But continue, Blair.
I absolutely agree, Tyler. Definitely, you're definitely paying for the points, but I feel like it's kind of worth it just because she fits so many molds. And I think, like we, it always comes down to flying. It's going to come down to flying, absolutely. But just that TLT you're almost, with Predator, you're almost looking at two auto damage if you can fit an op spec in there. And I'm looking at her with Predator, TLT, lightweight frame, a Scimitar with op spec, two more Sims with unguided rockets, and then an Academy. And you've got tons of beef, tons of blockers in there to help screen for her. And you get all those focus stacks from op spec, and she just hangs out on the... All it takes is two turns, basically, of TLT shots, and she can erase Fen while everyone else is handling the rest of their list. So
I feel like that's wishful thinking at best, because Fen's just going to dive at your face and one-shot her. Like, quite literally one-shot her.
I have a question.
Not if he's blocked.
Why would he not if he's blocked? He's getting all his stuff from Mind Link and Manaroo anyway.
No. If you block him from getting in range one.
That's fair.
I mean, like I said, it always comes down to flying, Tyler, but you got four bodies in there. They can barrel roll. I feel like you can at least buy yourself at least one turn of not letting Fen get range one on you.
If you've got enough ships to deal with Fen, you can kill him, right? Like, yeah. I don't know. So at some point, like if he, I don't know. So... So I actually, can someone, let's pretend that I don't know what I'm doing, right?
Sure.
And
it's very easy. Go on.
Explain to me what makes Kestrel so good. Explain to me Kestrel's ability and what makes it so powerful.
So Kestrel's ability is very powerful because it's a pseudo Omega Leader style ability, right? When I shoot you, you roll your dice, I spend a focus, you only get the evades. You can't modify your dice, so there's no lone wolf rerolls. There are no elusiveness rerolls if you brought that. There's no Cirasu rerolls if you happen to bring that. Yeah.
Elusiveness is amazing.
I'm sorry. Elusiveness you still get. There's no... No, it's just lone wolf. Yeah. There's no auto thrusters. So it's like all these defensive mods that are really good that we see a lot of. Well, outside of maybe... I guess we see a lot of auto thrusters. It's just on one of two ships. But...
No focus.
Yeah, you don't get focus either. Yeah, so you're dropped down to 3 of 8. Right? You still have access to evade tokens. So it's a little worse than what Omega Leaders is, but it is very good for hitting those really hard to hit agi dodge guys. Totally cool. Makes sense. My tepidation on this ship is the fact that she does get very expensive very quickly. Like you said, 33 points. That's an expense. That's a third of your stuff. And she doesn't have the reverse of Omega Leader's ability, which is when someone is shooting her, she doesn't have any special defense. Right. She can't take evades. She's not stopping you from modding your dice. So she's going to struggle against beef.
Like, so question for everybody. I'm just curious. Juke is not a card that makes any sense on this pilot. I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking it once again for a friend. Just curious.
So if anybody doesn't know, when the article was initially leaked and has now been changed, their preview of Kestrel had Juke as the EPT with no way of getting her an evade token.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Yeah, there was you could use Striden.
I'm just saying there potentially might be something in the expansion that maybe we don't know.
I believe. No, we know everything in the expansion.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind then. I tried to cover for you.
100% what happened was they got used to working with what's the new intensity, and that was the way to get her the evade. And then someone's like, oh man, if she had an evade, Juke could be really good too. Let's talk about Juke. Forgetting you can't have both.
If she had Juke, that'd be pretty sick.
Oh yeah, if she had Juke, that'd be really, yeah, it would be exactly Omega Leader, right? Like, So I think she had, my frustration... And like I said, my tepidation is I feel like she is a response to the meta we had 2 years or a year ago with Wave 7, where you had a lot of auto thruster aces everywhere. You saw the Inquisitor,
place. That's when they were designing this
character. I agree. Yeah, they're generally two waves out. That totally makes sense. I get that. It's just one of those things that, like, we're just not in that world right now. Like, yes, Fen is totally a big deal, and she hopefully will do well against Fen, but... It's not anywhere like it used to be.
So let's talk about the other ship that was spoiled, which was Double Edge. So this one has not nearly gotten the shine that Kestrel has, but Double Edge is PS4, and I suppose his ability is once per round, you perform a secondary weapon attack that does not hit. After you perform one, you may perform an attack with a different weapon, so your primary weapon.
Or another secondary.
Oh, like a missile.
Yeah. Or just like that build Tyler was talking about before with auto blaster turret and ungutted rockets. Right. And this guy. I mean, that's brutal.
So do we think that maybe that this pilot deserves a little bit more shine? Certainly PS4 is good versus scouts.
I think he does, and the best way is to dramatically say his name. You say, Double Edge.
Double Edge.
I like Double it. Edge.
So, like, one thing that I've seen talked about online, I've talked about with some of the other players, are you throw unguided rockets on it because it's cheap, so it brings you to 21, and then you throw a TLT, right? So you pop off on...
A synced turret isn't bad, I don't
think. Don't, like, synced turret and unguided rockets don't work together, well together, I should say, because one has to have a target lock, the other has to have a focus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the downside there. Granted, if you target lock early and just don't use it, just keep using it to proc your synced, then okay, fine. But what is nice is if you launch the missile at somebody and miss, you possibly strip tokens, you possibly have an op specialist in the list to give you another focus, and then you switch to your TLT. Now you have a more accurate TLT shot into someone that hopefully has less tokens to defend themselves with. Sure. It kind of gives you a pseudo three dice attacks against people that are unarmed.
How many points is that at a 19?
It's a lot. It's 27.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the when presumably 29 because you throw lightweight frame on it.
What do you think, Blair?
You kind of made my point for me right there, Rick. Tyler is lambasting me about bringing Kessel, and you've got 29 points coming for the same guy, and his ability is munitions failsafe, essentially. I mean, I get that, but it's like, if you bring unguided rockets, now you're jousting. TLT carriers never want to joust. This dude's going to die in half a second if he flies in their face first.
I didn't say it was good. I said it was something that might work.
Hey, hold up, guys. I'm going to say this only because I have like a single mind snapshot with this. That's a secondary weapon.
Ooh. But can you fire again after snapshot, though?
You can't.
No. You can't attack again.
No!
They're ahead of you.
Almost.
Could you use this with twin laser turret to actually get three hits on someone from twin laser turret in one round by attacking with twin laser turret the first time,
missing.
Hitting, second time, missing, and then re-triggering?
No.
It's a different weapon. Yeah.
Well, and also, more importantly, twin laser turret to be considered a miss has to miss with both shots.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a fairly recent change, like within the last 6-ish to 12-ish months kind of a thing, and it's to stop things like op specialist triggering off of front-end attacks, that kind of stuff.
You see, that's why I think auto blaster turret works in this guy, because you still want to get mixed in with it. You want to get in close. You've got your rockets, and you've got auto blaster turret for up-close range.
So, yeah.
And even if you just miss with your rockets, you can fire your main guns, which is really not that horrible.
Yeah. But again, he's only got 5 hit points, so if you're getting in there and mixing it up, he still could... I mean, you're going to get one auto blaster off, maybe, and then Fenn's going to one-shot him.
Well, that's the downside of the tournament scene, is everything I look at has to go through the infinite rocket Sunterfell glasses. But no, I pseudo see that, because like you rockets because they're cheap, you've got your primary attack, so you're just kind of double tapping as you make the initial joust, right? So you're deep range or your mid range, and then when you get into that knife fight, you actually aren't knife fighting them. You're moving past them and barrel rolling into awkward positions, and then just counting on that side range one shots to do your damage for you.
Exactly.
So that might have a decent spot someplace. I don't know what I bring with it. Do we drop, say, like 2 Black Squadron fighters and bring like a mini swarm with them?
Yeah, you need like a cheaper backbone to your list, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, right. And so it's not that it doesn't have merit. I just don't know where it fits yet. And that's what I said. That's what I think the problem with this, and not even problem, I think it's a good thing for this ship. You're not going to see it out of like the super premier tournament players early on. You're going to see it out of the guys that are just like, I bought the ship, I'm putting it on the table, I'm going to slap some stuff around it and see what works. And eventually you might see that new archetype for Empire kind of emerge from there.
Right. I think there's going to be like the toolbox Empire list that's going to come out. That's going to have a few different things.
It's going to feel very much more like 4-ship Rebel.
Yes.
That's what I think we'll finally have in Empire that we haven't had for a long time.
Some guy said this on Reddit when it was spoiled, is he was like, I'm not looking so much at the 4 CNRs with TLT lightweight frame. I'm looking more in the mold of Paul Heaver,
where you bring three ships that all fill a different role, and then you've just got one guy in there with a TLT just to add some random damage.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
It is nice for Empire to finally have that. I think Empire players are very happy to finally totally get that. Agree.
So let's move on to the last spoiled card, I believe, for this article, which was Intensity, which has spurned a little bit of conversation, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's a dual card, which is pretty awesome. It's small ship only, and the front side is after you perform a boost or barrel roll action, you may assign one focus or evade token to your ship. And if you do, you flip the card. I think the back, I think that you can see it if you zoom in. It's something along the lines of if you at the end of the end phase, if you have a focus or evade, you can flip it back over. Is that right?
At the end of the combat, you can spend a focus or evade to flip it back over.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool. So that is another card that people have been talking about, and I kind of go back and forth on this card. What do we think about it? I mean, it's 2 points, which is fairly cheap, and it's kind of in this, do you want to kind of save points on Push the Limit to do it sort of a different way? What are you guys' thoughts on this card?
I think it's pretty interesting, especially if you're looking at a ship that traditionally wasn't good with Push the Limit because of a lack of a good variety of green maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm kind of looking at the Star Viper with this as you know, kind of generally bad as a Star Viper is, because that was one big failing of the Star Viper to me was that I couldn't really run it with Push the Limit because it only had like green banks.
Yeah, you didn't have green turns for sure.
I brought up one build to Tyler. So it's quick draw with Intensity, title obviously. A comm relay, lightweight frame, and then maybe FCS if you want it. And the idea is you're at PS9, so you're typically going to deploy last. And if you can buy yourself 2 turns at the start of the game before shots go off, you form a barrel roll, get the evade, keep it for comm relay, and then the turn after you can flip it. So in essence, you're buying yourself a free evade, and pretty expensive, but when you think about quick draw, what does he want to do when he's getting shot while he still has shields? He wants to reduce all the damage, so he's taken one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so he just wants to just take one at a time. Right. Yeah, one
so
at
that,
a time.
That evade can potentially be pretty valuable with him, because if you take one, you just keep it, and you got it for next turn. If you don't, you spend it, and you get a free shot. So.
That's, or you flip the card over.
Yeah. So
well, you'll have it recharged. In theory, you have it recharged by the time you actually engage. So you got it. The next time you need to barrel roll, you just get a focus for your shot, or you can pick up the evade there too.
Yeah.
So walk me through the recharge costs. How big a deal is that? How little a deal is that?
So I mean, recharge shot is really big. Like that's where everyone because you said it yourself, Ricky. You compared it to Push the Limit, and Push the Limit is always action positive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, it stresses you, but it only goes on ships that can deal with the stress. Intensity is not action positive. It's action neutral. Mm-hmm. So you have to be recharging this. And while sure, a lot of times people will look at like, oh, we have plenty of tokens and cleanup and whatnot. Is this ship going to have a token every time to recharge it? That remains to be seen. Like, you're generally going to be spending that focus on the shot, right? Like, that's why you're getting the extra focus token, or you're taking the evade.
On the flip
to not
side,
get shot.
You can use it on like, if you've got a pass that you think you're, like, or for example, you could, there are situations where, say, you focus and you just rolled the hottest you could possibly roll. You rolled all hits and all evades, and you have the focus at the end. You can then use it to flip it over.
Absolutely. You totally can. But yes. Like I said, it's action neutral at 2 points.
There's also a few pilots that you can use it with to get, you know, more synergy and bonuses that you end up with a focus and an evade at the end of the turn or with your actions. And then
like
perhaps
Jay,
at the end of the turn, you might end up with more than that. There's a couple. There's Darth Vader has 2 actions, so he could actually do, you know, an evade, focus, barrel roll. Jake Farrell from Allstate can, you know... And actually, I think this, I see this, and my first thought was, this is a fix for A-Wings, because You do. You get a guy.
A-wings don't need a fix, man. But I am thinking about this for A-wings.
But imagine a Green Squadron pilot with an EPT. Give him A-wing test pilot for another one. He can take intensity and push the limit.
Yep.
So you do a boost. You know, you get your free thing. You do push the limit. It's just you can end up getting like a whole ton of stuff. I mean, Jake is absurd, but even just normal A-wing itself can do pretty well.
I also think Poe has a good argument for PS9 Poe, because you get the focus anytime you boost, and you're also keeping that focus anyway because of his ability, and then you're just not kicking it to your regen droid. You're going to use BB-8 or something else like that, or just R2-D2, and then you've got it at the end phase because you didn't ever actually spend it.
So intensity is interesting with – it's most interesting with Juke, but then you can't have snap – guys.
Stop it, Ricky. Stop it.
I was also looking at this with like a Brobots list with IG-88A, because then you can get a focus and an evade.
Oh, you mean C? Boost.
Oh yeah. Sorry, yeah. C
for sure.
Excuse me.
I'm looking at even a few of these pocket aces, mid level guys like Jemmer Sojin. You know, you do the boost to get within range one, so he gets extra green dice, but there he gets an extra focus now, too, for that. A few other people, because I play missions, and so I see this from different perspectives. Zertik Strom, he's the one, get in
Zertik's
range one,
so good.
You know, and he really can mess with people, but you get that barrel roll to go ahead and get within range one, but there you are, range one. They don't get the extra die, but let's say you're facing Rebels, three dice anyways, and your face is still pretty rough. Now
but
he can take the focus of
more importantly, you barrel roll, and you get the focus to shoot your procket.
Exactly. Yep. I will That's even funny. Say the big one that I really want to try, Zeta Ace. That's the one, the TIEFO pilot, where you can use the range 2 barrel roll.
Oh.
Yeah?
Wow. Okay.
And I mean, it's not game breaking, but I want to do it.
That's fair.
It's I suppose that it does. That does put you in like a bunch of different positions to show up and shoot somebody.
And particularly if you're going with some sort of weird list with, I don't know, a TIE aggressor toolbox and you're looking for weird things to fill up
your
points.
Or as Tyler was saying, prockets.
Yeah.
Hold on. So you have Zeta Ace with
for 20 points
with pattern analyzer. And you 2 sloop, but then you 2 barrel roll before you sit stressed.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Focus.
Rocket. Oh, man.
That's intense.
Sorry. Just my head's seeing the map now of the weirdness that can go on.
Oh, yeah. Weirdness that you can do, like, I don't know, comm relay where you get to bank the evade.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting. So, yeah, that's going to be really fun to play, and I hope that this moves the Imperial dial to see a little bit more. I guess I want to stir the Imperial pot a little bit to see if it's going to be anything more than Rack Whisper and
the number of Rack Whispers that are about to pop up. You have not even you don't even know
Imperial jank. I want to see it. You know, I think we're on the cusp of a renaissance of Imperial jank. I'm excited.
Starting with Punishers, Jim?
Well, I'm going to
hold that close.
I think it's possible with the new system, bomblet generator, and whatever the mind mapping thing is. Like, I have to see what they are, but potentially throw that in, lightweight frame and unguided rockets. You potentially could see a TIE Punisher on the table. Possibly. Maybe.
All right, so
I don't know. It's so bad. Like, I want to like the TIE Punisher. It's We'll see. I feel like it will push it in the right direction, and it will bring the TIE Punisher from Terabad up to like T-65 level, and then we'll just need like one or two more buffs, and then we'll get it on the table again.
It'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
All right, so guys, we were before this talking about store championships. Are you guys actually going to go and fly in any store championships?
Depends. Probably not. I spend almost like 80-90% of my time just working on my missions.
All right, so do you still play? So what is your favorite 100-point list then?
I used to fly a lot of heavily loaded up Shizor with Z95s. It's awful now.
I had a buddy who ran that for a long time, though.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, I did too. Prince of the New Power Generation. That's what I got nicknamed.
Okay. Jim, are you going to fly in any store championships?
I might. A lot of it depends on the misses and family. It'll be summer, which means they might actually occupy themselves, or they might be entangling me in their activities. Sure. So if I can, I would love to sneak out. And
what are you thinking about running if you can?
I've got two. One of them is actually four TIE bombers. I'm thinking like Gamma Vets with Veteran Instincts to PS7.
Nice.
Guidance chips, extra munitions, you know, and homing missiles. And then two scimitars with homing missiles, extra munitions, and long-range scanners.
And just blow everything up.
Yeah, don't fly in formation, fly loose. I've gotten good. I don't think your dials suck. That's one idea.
What's the other one?
The TIE Bomber is not a bad dial. Like, I like it with Crackshot instead of VI. Just because, like, here, I'm hitting you. You can't use evades. I'm taking that one away. Oh, you're an ace and you happen to get in front of me?
PS is not as important, but particularly with guidance chips, getting, you know, ensure to get the target lock. Yeah. I also think there's a lot of, like, large ships that, you know, these days, if you just concentrate enough homing missiles at it, it's going to melt.
I mean, don't shoot four homing missiles at my 16 hull. I don't want to deal with that at
right,
all.
Right. Oh, you've got bigs? It's okay. Or I've got target locks. You know,
yeah,
we'll
target lock around that. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
What's the other one, Jim?
It's a list I call I Have You Now. It'd be Vader with Swarm Leader, Engine Upgrade, four...
ATC, Academy, assuming, right?
ATC, yep, that's sure. X-Wing title and ATC. Four Academy pilots and Night Beast. So I flew a lot of Vader and TIEs in Wave 1. And blocking, all about blocking screens. You set up those TIE fighters in a screen, you're going to block the crap out of stuff.
Yep.
You know, and even if you're bumping them with an evade token, everybody gets an evade to feed Vader. And Night Beast, he's action economy. He can get a free green and then doesn't evade. And basically, Vader's
he gets evade focus.
Five dice.
What up?
Yeah, he gets five dice with a free crit thrown on. Boom.
I like it. Yeah.
I hear blocking and tears come to my eyes.
Right. I love blocking.
I don't feel like we have to say what I'm going to fly at store championships, but I'm going to just say again, A-Wings are legit and they're real. And Tyler, I'm still mad that you haven't flown them yet. Not Tyler, Blair.
Blair, okay. I was like, you know Blair, that's never going to happen.
Blair, you should fly the TIE SF version that we saw. With that weird light frame sensor cluster TIE FS snapshotters. Those look amazing.
That would mean I'd have to get some SFs out of a package.
Okay. You'd have to open a box.
I haven't opened anything past Wave 8 that I didn't need cards from.
So that's what I'm flying at. I want to get into A-Wings at some point. I want to deep dive, but you guys aren't on my A-Wing level yet. And I need you to just please drink the Kool-Aid and join me so we can talk about this.
It's ridiculous, Ricky. So the real question is, are you going to include movie highlight reel Nien with Snapshot R3A2?
I can't
with
do
some
it.
Of your A-Wings? No, are you on the Nora bandwagon? Like, it's just always going to be Nora?
It's well, not really. It's either going to be Nora or it's going to be Jess Pava and Braylon, and you drop an A-Wing, and you have two.
Oh, yeah. So the list that I faced at Worlds. Mm-hmm. So you've got a stress Braylon. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to... Yeah, okay.
I don't know if it's better or not because I think... Okay, I'm getting way too deep into this. But I think that Snap Juke is really good in having three lets you set a stronger early screen. It's less important late to have, like... You know, at that point, one or two is fine, but early being able to set, like, a really good wall is important with Snapshot, at least. So, anyways... So I want to talk about our next contest. I'm really interested in intensity. So I want to see an intensity list, something that uses that pilot talent. Certainly we expect to see plenty of Jakes and whatnot. If you give us something really interesting, you tend to win because we're like children with shiny objects and we go after that. So anyways, I do want to put a bow on this because... We're probably at, what, an hour and a half of content, and Blair's like dying inside having to edit all of this. So Phil and Jim, I do want to thank you guys for coming on. So just to kind of remind everybody, if they were interested in checking out the information for Gen Con, where would they go?
There's the Gen Con catalog page. So we had a little bit of problem at first where they split our thing into two actual events, but we're getting that fixed. So by the time this airs, it'll be fixed. The main Gen Con catalog, or if you want to look up the Shuttle Tidarium, if you just kind of Google Shuttle Tidarium podcast, if you go to the FFG forums, I'm Hey Chadwick. I post there way too often. Phil, anywhere I'm forgetting?
I was going to say, I was going to ask you if people wanted to listen to your podcast, where they would go, you know, as an addendum to the Scum and Villainy podcast.
Well, of course. I mean, I've been listening to your podcast for years, so, you know, I like your podcast, and I do mine as a side to yours. So.
Right. This is like tribute right now. This is what this is. This is like pirate tribute. But like, so do you guys have a specific page you go to, or just like go to the FFG forums and you guys are on there? You guys have a Podbean or something, don't you?
Yeah, we are in Podbean, or if you just Google Shuttle Tidarium podcast, it shows up with Podbean. We're in iTunes as well.
Cool. Excellent. So I really appreciate you guys coming on, and I don't think I'm going to be at Gen Con, but if Tyler doesn't make it, he asked a million questions, so I at least know that he's in if he doesn't make it to
day two.
To day two.
Don't put that bad juju on me. What are you doing, Ricky?
Hold up. How do I disappointedly motivate
you
here?
How do you disappointedly look at me through Zencaster? Sure. That might be
it's
tough.
Like, Tyler, I'm only planning for what your effort is making right now.
Gotcha.
I did it.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. Good. Cool. I got to give him negative, like, disappointed feedback. Anyway, so let's go ahead and put a bow on this. For Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, and Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72. My name is Richard White. Better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Thank you, Galactic Holonet, and good hunting. Thanks, guys, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Awesome.